Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hello, my name is Mary Seitz, and you're listening to Under the Rug, a podcast discussing things that are often unsaid in the workplace. Here I have with me my mom, Andrea Seitz. Mom, can you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Thanks, Mary. Happy to be here. So I am currently an inclusion, diversity, and equity leader for Amazon Web Services, and I have been there for 5 years driving and leading programs to drive more inclusion, diversity, and equity across AWS. And prior to that, my focus was employee relations, conflict management in the workplace, facilitation, mediation, and really working to create inclusion through compliance and policies, such as our accommodation process, our leave process. And so prior to that, I also started my conflict resolution practice with the Arizona Attorney General's Office and trained as a volunteer mediator with the conflict resolution section, doing mediations for equal employment opportunity complaints and contractor complaints and CPS for Child Protective Services. So a long a career really looking at equity across multiple systems and landed with diversity, equity, inclusion at Amazon.
That's really cool. I always wondered this, like what made you want to do something like this? Like, was there ever a moment that you kind of just knew like that's something I want to do?
You know, I think looking back, I've always wanted to be an advocate where there was either unfairness or injustice. So those stories always appealed to me, understanding that people have different lived experiences and wanting for there to be, equity or fairness, I think was always inherent for me. It just showed up in different ways. And so when I was doing employee relations work and HR compliance work, I really had the opportunity to influence the employee experience through, creating accommodations for people who might have a disability or people who are dealing with mental health concerns and challenges and giving them time and space for that. And so with that, I was able to learn about the diversity and equity and inclusion space and realized that that's a career and you can really be intentional and drive programs and strategies around that and organizational change in adopting a more inclusive culture. So that really appealed to me and was a space I thought I could be more proactive as opposed to being reactive like I was in so many ways previously in my career.
Yeah, I think a lot of that stuff is very important right now, and it's not talked about enough. So why do you think businesses should prioritize diversity, equity, and inclusion?
You know, the research is really clear. There is research to show diverse teams outperform and out-innovate non-diverse teams or homogenous teams. And there's some research by Dr. Kimberly Crenshaw at Columbia Business School. And she did some really interesting research with juries. And she looked at diverse juries versus homogenous juries when they had a task to complete. And the diverse juries far outperformed the homogenous juries. And it was really interesting. They actually, when she interviewed the diverse juries, they actually felt that they weren't as productive. And the homogenous juries did. They felt like they did really well and they all got along and gelled and so on. But with the task at hand, the diverse juries actually outperformed those homogenous juries. And there's also direct correlation to inclusion. And it's really important to understand it's not just about diversity in teams, but diverse teams when well managed, where inclusion plays an integral part to that team, those are the teams that then have more creativity and more productivity and lead to that innovation. And so the research is really clear there. So when a business can integrate intentionality around diversity and inclusion from day one, where they really make sure that it's a priority and a focus, they're going to outperform other companies, maybe who are more homogenous, maybe competitors who are more homogenous. And so there's also quite a bit out there on bottom line. So if the bottom line appeals to you, we know, for instance, that corporations with diverse boards, their revenue outpaces those companies with boards that are homogenous, same in leadership. When you have diverse leadership teams, we're seeing bottom line overall outperformance there from if the money is what motivates you to do that work, that is clearly there as well.
Yeah, I think that's because there's so many different people from different backgrounds and outlooks on life. And if we have someone from like a bunch of people from the same background, you're just going to get the same answers and the same solutions to things. So what are some of the best practices business leaders could do to build an inclusive workplace?
That's a really good question. And there's quite a few things that companies can do and leaders can do. I think it starts with the individual. And I think quite often I have leaders come to me and say, just tell me the three things I need to do. Just tell me what I should be doing. And I tell them it really starts with you. It starts with understanding the lived experiences of your employees, the headwinds that they might be facing at the personal and systemic level. It's understanding that there are people who are still experiencing the barriers due to systemic oppression that has occurred for generations and generations. And so when you can dive in and understand that, one, it's important to know the historical perspective, it's important to understand that individual perspective and lean into empathy, lean into the emotional intelligence skills that, you know, are really a focus in today's workplace. And when you can really demonstrate inclusive behaviors such as humility, being vulnerable and being open to saying, I don't know, but I'm learning and I want to learn. I may not be an expert in this space, but I want to listen and hear from you and better understand how, you know, we can build a more inclusive workplace. So that individual awareness and introspection is key. And that's where leaders can start. And there's some great research that's happened with Deloitte and Deloitte Australia and the six signature traits of inclusive leadership. And that was by Bernadette Dillon and Juliette Burke. And we're actually working with Bernadette Dillon and her partner on, they have an inclusive leader compass that shows 16 focus areas of inclusive leadership. It's called inclusiveleadershipcompass.com. So feel free to look that up. But they were covered in Harvard Business Review, and they talk about why inclusive leadership is important for business and why every leader should be an inclusive leader and the importance of that. So some great research there. So in that, it also talks about, it's not just the importance of understanding where you're at on your personal journey, but also how do you show up for others? How do you advocate for others? Are you mentoring people who are different than you? Are you sponsoring people who are different than you? And those are two different things, right? Mentoring is helping people navigate maybe the workplace, navigate situations. Sponsoring is advocating, talking about that person's work, highlighting that person's work to others. So it's more about who you're talking to versus talking to that mentor or that mentee or that sponsee. So there's so many different layers to this. It's also important that leaders look at systemically, right? Is there equity in my people processes? Is there equity in how I'm promoting? Is there equity in how I'm paying people? Is there equity in how I'm bringing people on onboarding, right? So there's those different layers of inclusive leadership, and it's really important to be able to understand and start with yourself.
Yeah, that's all really important. I think it takes a lot more work than people think. And I think they don't know where to start. I really liked what you were saying about admitting that you're wrong. And I think right now people are really scared to admit they're wrong. They don't want to believe they're wrong. So they just keep pushing forward with that thought, like the original thought they have, without admitting that, oh, wait, maybe this view is actually right. So how can business leaders learn more about building inclusive workplaces?
You know, I think, like I said, you could Google, you know, how do I build an inclusive workplace? And you're going to get so many resources and so many articles, and including some of the ones that I mentioned. I would say that starting with understanding what inclusive leadership is really critical. There's different areas. There's so many different dimensions of diversity, right? So go with where your passion is. If you want to be an ally for the LGBTQ plus community, right, dive in and learn more about the experiences of folks from that community and how you can be a better ally. You know, if you're wanting to learn more about racial injustice and the experience, especially in the U.S., what's happening, especially since Ahmaud Arbery and George Floyd last year, there's been this racial reckoning in workplaces today. And it really has left a lot of leaders scared to step in because they don't want to say the wrong thing. And really what it is it's about courage and saying it's better to step in and say something that feels authentic and from the heart versus not saying anything at all. And that's what I'm hearing from communities of color saying, we need for you to speak up. We need for you to leverage the privilege that you have and that your identities hold to drive a more inclusive culture. And a really great book to learn about more allies, how to be an ally and advocate, is Amber Cabral's book, Allies and Advocates. And we have Amber teach several sessions for us at Amazon on this topic. So she's a great resource and released a book earlier this year. So I would say those are great places to start. But you mentioned something that was really interesting. You said, you know, people are afraid to mess up. People are afraid to be wrong and also to offend, right? They don't necessarily want to say anything because they are afraid at this point that they could offend folks and say the wrong thing. And it's important that we understand that we're all going to mess up. No one's perfect. In fact, we don't need perfection in this space. We need people to try. And Dolly Chugg, a researcher on unconscious bias, said it so well. She has a great book called The Person You Mean to Be. And in her book, she talks about if we spend so much time protecting our good person status, right? She talks about how if we actually spent more time on our growth mindset and understanding that we're imperfect, and that it's really about if we mess up and when we mess up, how to apologize and understand impact versus intent, acknowledging the impact regardless of intent. If we acknowledge the impact and we recognize where we could do better and we learn from that, and then we go and we talk about what we learned. Say, hey, did you know, or I just heard, or I just learned this. And we spread that knowledge. If we spent more time doing that than protecting and defending our good person, I'm a good person. We know you're a good person. We know you had good intent. Let's focus on what we can do to drive change and embrace that growth mindset.
Yeah, that's all really true. I think this past almost 2 years now has been really important for change in our country, especially. Like you said, with George Floyd, I think it's been more, I have really like paid more attention to that kind of stuff. And I wish I would have earlier. And also cancel culture is a really big thing, especially for kids my age, like the platforms TikTok and mostly TikTok. It's if someone makes a small mistake about something, they are immediately shamed. And I think there should be more, like learning. And there is a lot of helping them learn too, but it's people are so scared to like offend people, like you said. So what are some resources for businesses to get started on building DEI plans?
There's a lot of great resources. I think leanin.org, if you're focusing on gender representation, gender diversity is a great place to start. The Clayman Institute of Stanford. If you are more of a tech business, there's National Society for Women in Engineering, and NCWIT, I think it's the National Center for Women in Technology. So, you know, there's so many different resources, and you can actually go and say, help me build a strategy. Like, here's a strategy template for you to get started. There's so many consulting firms out there as well. There's Catalyst that has full, you know, programs that they can help you with. There's Korn Ferry. There's quite a few different consulting firms and organizations that are really dedicated to this work and helping businesses solve and set up strategies that will help move the needle and drive change.
Yeah. First off, can you explain, like, I know DEI plans is diversity, equity, inclusion, correct? Just wanted to clarify that because I was a little confused at first. What is Amazon doing to increase diversity, equity, inclusion?
You know, Amazon has really focused on what we could do to educate and drive awareness around this topic, and also supporting the grassroots efforts of our employee population. So at Amazon, we call them affinity groups. We have affinity groups to build community for different populations and communities at Amazon. So we have Glamazon, our LGBTQ plus community and allies. We have Black Employee Network at Amazon, which is, again, open to Black employees, but also allies of our Black employee in that community. We have our Latinos at, and we have Indigenous at. These are all global affinity groups, and they're doing amazing work both internal and external to Amazon, but creating that community and action. They're also a voice. They're a voice of the communities, and they've really driven some amazing change within Amazon. Other things that we're doing is we host large-scale internal conferences, such as what we call AmazeCon, which is a gender diversity conference. And AmazeCon, we bring in amazing speakers on the topic, like Catherine Phillips, who came in and talked about her research, and really allowing space for Amazonians to come together to learn and to understand this topic in more depth. We also have CORE, our Conversations on Race and Ethnicity, again, bringing amazing researchers, authors, activists to come and talk about this work. So those are just a few things that we're doing. We also are focused on training and ensuring that people can come together with brave conversations on this topic. We do inclusion town halls, and we also partner with some consulting firms to host what we call inclusive leader summits at AWS. And that brings together people of all identities to learn about the lived experiences and listen and practice having those conversations across difference.
I know you've been almost all over the world talking about these things. Can you name some of the places you've been and why and what you were talking about?
Absolutely. We went to Singapore. We went to Australia a couple of times. We've been to India twice. I've been to Ireland. We've been to London, South Africa. We've done summits in South America as well. The response and the willingness for people to step into the space and have the conversation is tremendous. And it's been really, really exciting. And one of the things when we travel, we always ask, what does inclusion mean to you, right? Because it can look different around the world. So what does inclusion mean to you? What does diversity mean, you know, when we talk about it here in this part of the world? And it's interesting, you'll get different responses on diversity, but inclusion, I see themes. I see themes of belonging and wanting to be valued and respected and heard. And no matter where you go in the world, I think there's this sentiment of, I just want to feel as if I belong, right? And that I can grow and thrive in this culture. So that's been this thread throughout all of the different locations that we've had this conversation.
Yeah, I think not enough people know what diversity inclusion looks like in different countries. I think that we mainly focus on the U.S., which I think is good because it's our country, but also other countries. Like, we haven't I mean, at least I haven't heard a lot about what diversity and inclusion looks like there. So it's really interesting that you get to experience all of that. So what's the most rewarding part of your job?
For me, the most rewarding part is knowing that I'm making a difference in the experiences of those who are from communities that have been historically marginalized. So for instance, when I have coworkers and colleagues, you know, say, this is the work that I think is going to really make some change. This is the work that's so, so important. You know, thank you for doing this work. I think that's what keeps me centered, knowing that I also can be an on-ramp for those folks who are new to this, for people who are scared to step into that space. So I recognize as a white woman the privilege that I have and that I can leverage that privilege to have conversations with other white folks, for instance, who may not know where to start and they feel comfortable talking with me, right? And then I can say, hey, did you know? And here's what I learned and here's my journey. And really, like I said, be that on-ramp for more exploration and more conversation, and to encourage them to be brave to step into this work, because that's what it takes, all of us, right? Inclusion is about all of us. Respect is about everyone wants to be respected, right? And to be treated with respect. So how do we frame the work so that it is about inclusion for everyone? It is about inclusion specifically for those who have not felt included historically and why, you know, that that's the case. So I think seeing also the aha moments for people when they say, gosh, I never knew, or wow, that is something that's really, really important. I'm so glad I know that now. And can you tell me more? Can you help me understand? And so I think that's what is the most rewarding, is seeing the awareness build and knowing that there's a foundation that we're laying, there's pebbles that we're dropping around the world to get people considering and thinking about things in a different way and maybe expanding their perspective.
Yeah, I think it's really important to spread, like as being privileged, it is really important for us to be able to spread the word and help encourage other people who don't understand, like you said, because I think there's only I think it is growing, but there's not enough people who understand and need to help leverage the people who have experienced those inequalities in the past. And leading into that, what's the hardest part of your job that you've had to go through?
The hardest part is honestly, the emotional weight of it, knowing that there are people who still experience, you know, the barriers, that there are still systemic inequities, right? And the resistance that you can experience when it's so clear to you, but it may not be clear to others. And there is a reason people might feel entrenched or dug in, right, to a particular position, right? Again, going back to that defending my good person status. And so I think, you know, the hardest part is feeling like you're not doing enough. There are things that you could be doing that you just, either from a bandwidth perspective, a time perspective, a resourcing perspective, you just are unable to get to. But my team is really good at reminding me that, you know, everything you're doing matters and everything you are doing is really valued. And don't stop, like keep pushing that boulder, yeah, you know, uphill. And sometimes it feels like one inch at a time, but keep going. And so, and I recognize that everything I'm feeling, my colleagues of color are feeling that even more, exponentially more, yeah, because they have the weight of lived experiences that have not been positive in so many ways. And they're in a workplace that they still experience those headwinds while they are doing this work beside me.
Yeah.
So if I can lift and take the burden, even just a little bit of that burden off their shoulders, that's what motivates me to keep going and to keep focusing on this work, is that I can see right in front of me the difference, right, that you can make and the impact that you're making.
Yeah, what you're doing is so important for right now. We need to make change. And we are the world is changing, but there needs to be more. And I think people like you is extremely, extremely important. And you've been my greatest cheerleader and my inspiration this whole time. And who helped you, influenced you professionally? Like, who is your mentor? Is there anyone you can shout out to today, like throughout your whole life? It doesn't have to be work. It can be personal, whatever.
I have had the privilege, really, to work for some amazing leaders who have guided me and encouraged me. And I would say that, you know, some of those people that come to mind were early on in my career, where they saw, you know, whether a skill or talent and cultivate, helped me cultivate that, right? And they saw my superpowers and leveraged those superpowers and helped me succeed. And so just a few people that come to mind, you know, Cindy Haba and Colleen Mounsey, and, you know, further on in my career, Patrice Donahue, as we work together in the employee relations space. And I just really cut my teeth under some amazing professional women and saw myself, right, and how what I could aspire to be. And that is so important. That's why representation is so important. At Amazon, I learned so much from the amazing women that I work with. LaDavia Drain, our Director of Inclusion, Diversity, and Equity at AWS. Madhupe Congleton, another director driving Inclusion, Diversity, and Equity at AWS and now Amazon Consumer. Amazing women who have withstood barriers, right, and succeeded despite those headwinds. And I see, and I want to approach my work and the way that I lead in similar ways. And the way I lead my team is through partnership. I'm there to partner with you on your success. I am here and invested in your success. So for me, I've learned that along the way. And my former director, Kelly McGill, she, day one, I met her a couple of minutes into our conversation. She said, "I have your back. I'm here for you, and I'm invested in your success." And that right there is something that I've taken forward from Kelly as well.
I know for me personally, I am extremely invested and curious to how you got to where you are. I know you kind of briefly went over it in the beginning, and I hope I can do something nearly as great as you when I'm older. So what are some of the, like, more in depth, like, what are the jobs and what steps did you take to get here? Like, college classes, I don't know, some stuff like that. Like, what are the stepping stones to getting to where you are today?
I get this question a lot because there's so many people who are passionate about diversity, equity, and inclusion, and they want to move into it. So many people are doing it off the side of their desk. They're not getting paid to do it, right? Mm-hmm. And they want to know how they can move into that as a career. A great first step is to get involved wherever you're at in your current workplace. Start an affinity group if you don't have any affinity group. Sometimes they're called business resource groups or employee resource groups. Start one or get involved in those communities if you have them, and be part of the leadership team. Drive some work streams in that space. There's also things that you could do in your workplace that might not be in an affinity group. You know, you can, talk to your leader about potentially ways that you can build more inclusion within your team, right? Bring topics of conversations to team meetings and host lunch and learns on to watch a video or read an article and then discuss them. And just start holding space for the conversation and discussion, and then start tracking, you know, what you're doing that's more programmatic, right? If you're in, you know, recruiting, for instance, you find out about your diversity recruiting practices. There's, you know, several people who have come through the recruiting field. Also HR, you know, if you can move through the HR field and really start to focus on diversity, equity, inclusion in that way, and then move into a space after you've integrated it into the work that you're already doing. So look for ways that you can do that. Are you thinking about inclusion in everything you do? If you build products, are you thinking of ways to build more accessible products? Which customers are you not engaging with, right? And if you are building a framework for an inclusion mindset or an inclusive lens in everything you do, that right there is a great way to build skills. There are different certifications. Cornell has a certification in diversity, equity, and inclusion. You can go there and actually get, you know, a certificate. So that's another avenue if you're interested in putting that on your resume. So I think those are good places to start. Sometimes people start in nonprofit space, in community space, and getting involved that way as well.
Yeah, and it's important to realize it's not like, of course, your job is to do that, but you also shed light on, you could be doing your job and actively helping your workspace be more inclusive. You don't have to have a job for it. You can have, there's other ways you can start those groups. You can be that resource and start it. Yeah, I have had such a good time today, and I'm so grateful that I have you on as my mom. How can people contact you to learn more or to just reach out and connect with you?
I think the best way is just to connect with me on LinkedIn. So it's Andrea Seitz, and you'll see when you search Andrea Seitz, if it shows Amazon Web Services, Inclusion, Diversity, and Equity, you got the right Andrea Seitz. And that's a great way to connect with me. Feel free to direct message me through that if you have any questions. Also, AWS does have a website. If you searched AWS, Inclusion, Diversity, and Equity, you'll see more on our programming there, as well as Amazon has a diversity web page if you just want more information about all up Amazon and AWS efforts in this space.
Yeah, and to clarify, Seitz is spelled S-E-I-T-Z. Well, you have been listening to Under the Rug by Mary Seitz. Connect with you next time.